Sterling, let's talk a little bit more about that energy systems company, what they've got out there, and then we'll move on to some of these other issues here.
Sure. The Sterling Energy Systems, I was just mentioning that this year they're going to be going online with the Solar 1 and Solar 2 combined. These are two facilities, California. They're going to be putting out as much as Hoover Dam, 1.75 gigawatts of electricity. This is solar electricity, and no longer more expensive than grid power, but actually at or below the same the price of grid. So we've reached grid parity. Now, I know that's not that sexy. Solar's been around for a long time, probably hoping to get a better answer than solar, but presently, that's the best technology in our, and we cover all three energy technologies in our top 100. So wind, tide, geothermal, they're all in there. And most of the things in the top 10 are the more conventional free energy technologies. But we do have some really fun ones that are further outside the box. I'd like to draw an analogy.
Sure.
As we look at these different technologies, you started this show with the question, are we ever going to see any of these technologies make it? And you're referring to the more exotic things, the magnet motors, the gravity motors, the over-unity electromagnetic motors where you're getting more electricity out than what you put in, the zero-point energy. And the answer is, it's like the greased pole. You can see at the top of the pole that there's something real. You see the money or the candy or whatever it is up there, but to climb that pole with all the grease on it, it's not an easy task. And the grease is comprised of, the men in black factor, the, personal conflicts, the typical obstacles that you run into in taking something to market, and then you have those other things added on top. So, I have to say it's real. Everything that I can see, these things are for real. We will see them. Even though I personally have never seen a magnet motor in operation, there's enough other evidence, videos, testimonials, that there really is something to this stuff. And I really do expect that not too long from now, we'll start to see some of this come out. And in almost every other area that we just mentioned, there are devices that are as close as 1 year or less from marketplace arrival.
Now, how in the heck did a guy trained in biological sciences, you, end up getting interested in free energy?
Well, yeah, I started in that area of biological sciences, and I kind of went outside the box there. I went into bioelectrochemistry, where I was looking at the interaction of living systems with externally applied electromagnetic phenomena, body electric kind of stuff, and I ended up leaving the academic world to kind of help prepare for the end of the world, hunkering down for end times and whatnot.
Really?
Yeah. Back in about 90, I guess it was 90, 87 was when I made my departure from that world and basically made that my focus for a long time. And then I had another stint of in graduate school getting into some physiology and whatnot, and then I left after about 9 months, and I've not been back. Started a website that was talking about religio-political issues, found a code in the alphabetical sequence of biblical words, similar to the Bible code, fascinating stuff. You can look up phone numbers, zip codes, addresses, dates, phone numbers in the Bible lexicon and find all kinds of amazing stuff. Did that for a few years. And on this website, somebody approached me about a device that was in Africa. It was a free energy device, this magnet motor. And I thought, I don't have a page on my site about those types of things. So yeah. I started an index. And that basically was the beginnings of my free energy news. Almost immediately turned into a full-time endeavor. I was contacted by this company, actually a magnet motor company in Australia, not Australia, in South Africa, the Perendev motor that a lot of people have seen on YouTube. You have this
sure.
Yeah, you've seen that.
Yep. Yep.
I actually helped assemble that thing. We flew down to Johannesburg right when that thing came off the out of the machine shop, put it together. For a week while we were there, couldn't get the magnets in the right configuration.
That's critical, isn't it?
Yeah. And not every one of the positions is populated, so it's a matter of getting, it's like tuning the thing. And 2 months later, he sent us that video, and we sat on it for a couple of years. And then when he was going to make a public announcement on German television, he gave me permission to post that. And so we put it up in our on our news, and now, you know, millions of people have seen that video. It's not skeptic proof. You could picture that somebody's in the back putting a cheater device on there during the acceleration, and then they get out of the way while he does the walk around during deceleration. I don't think that's the case. I do think that's a legitimate technology. In fact, he claims that he's in production of that thing. There's some issues with credibility in terms of there's a bit of a BS factor going on. And you find that with most inventors. They tend to overpromise and underdeliver because their head's up in the clouds. That's where inventors are. They're out in the
And they all believe in what they're doing.
They do.
I mean, I was at a conference several years ago, Sterling, and a guy came up to me after my speech, and I was outside sitting down with my producer, Tom, and he said, can I show you something confidentially? And I went, well, yeah, I guess you can. He says, you got to promise me you won't say anything to anybody. You won't say anything on Coast to Coast. And I said, well, I promise, show me. So he reaches into his pocket and pulls out some pictures, and he goes, look. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, what is it? He said, that's my perpetual motion machine. And I said, this is your perpetual motion machine? And he said, yeah. And I said, these are toilet bowl parts on this picture. And he said, I know, that's how it works. And I said, well, does it? And he said, no, not yet. I can't figure it out. So inventors do sometimes over embellish their ideas.
Yeah. We get something like that almost every day, somebody who's got a great idea. And what we typically do is say, you know, let us know when you've got a prototype. Meanwhile, here's a great forum you can go to kick around some ideas. Some really smart people there can give you some good feedback. And I should mention the website I refer. It's overunity.com. It's a great website.